There are more refugees and displaced people in the world than ever before. Although much attention has been focused recently on the conflict in Syria, the UN this week described the Palestinian refugee crisis as a time bomb for the Middle East region, saying that the stark conditions afflicting millions of displaced Palestinians across the Middle East risk plunging it deeper into a humanitarian and security crisis.
The problems, though, are not new. Susan Abulhawa is Palestinian-born but left the country several times throughout her childhood. Through many circuitous routes, she finally ended up in the US, where she found herself in a Baptist children's home from the age of 13. Today, she's a novelist and human rights activist. Her latest book, The Blue Between Sky and Water, is published in many countries this month. Well, I think it's
yes, you can get what you want if you want, 'cause you can get anything. I know we come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
Susan has also founded a charity called Playgrounds for Palestine after she went back to the place of her birth with her daughter, who is now 18. Susan joined us on the line from the States to tell us more.
I conceived of the idea when I went back to Palestine after being away for about 17 or 18 years. And at the time, my daughter was quite young, and playgrounds were a really big part of our lives. So the absence of playgrounds in Palestine, at least in Palestinian areas, was really obvious and apparent to me. And I naively thought, oh, well, you know, I can do this. I can get playgrounds here. And so I came back, and it was a lot more complicated than I thought. But once I dove into it, I was in too deep to back out, and it worked out eventually. I got some friends on board, and we were able to get a playground donated. And once we installed that and figured out the details, it just took off from there. We're an all-volunteer board. We're a group of six women and one man, poor thing. It's a labor of love for all of us.
Could you maybe tell us a little bit about that 17-year absence? Give us the biographical sort of background to your leaving Palestine and then your return.
Well, I left Palestine in 1983. I was there illegally, according to Israelis, even though I have at least 900 years of family history there. And I was living in an orphanage in Jerusalem, and I had to leave. I ended up coming to the U.S., and after I turned 18, I got U.S. citizenship, and so I was able to go back as a visitor with a U.S. passport. And I didn't go back until, I think it was like the 2000, year 2000.
What was it like when you first went back after all those years? Because you must have retained a lot of memories from your childhood.
I don't think I ever forgot it. I think that being in the U.S., I came at the beginning kind of adolescence, and it was extremely awkward, and I really was just trying to fit in and find my way. So I wasn't really thinking about Palestine. But as an adult, when I went back, the landscape, the sounds, the smells, the food, the language, all of that really reawakened so much in me. And it was a jarring experience in a good way.
Where was your first playground and how did that come about? Did you have a particular place in mind from the beginning?
We actually thought getting space was going to be the hardest part because land comes at a premium, especially because it's shrinking and shrinking for Palestinians. But the first place was in Bethlehem on property that belongs to the Lutheran Church. And it turned out that actually getting the land was the easiest part because people were very eager to turn empty space into a playground.
Is there a particular playground or a particular set of children even who have particularly marked you, made a particular impression?
Yes. There is a playground that we built in Khan Yunis in Gaza. And I've gone to pretty much nearly all of the installations. And the one in Khan Yunis was especially interesting and fun because the kids were unbelievably excited. The first stage is just kind of to dig the holes for the posts. And, I mean, they were just excited by the holes, and they started playing hide-and-go-seek in these holes, which was adorable, and I took pictures of that. But they would come every day. They would leave home early on their way to school. Some of them were skipping breakfast just to come by and see how far we had gotten with building. And then they would run. It was the first stop where they'd come after school before going home just to see how far we'd gotten. And every day I was like, when are we going to be able to play on it? And then some days on weekends or after school, they were coming to help. And they really participated in building it. They carried things. I mean, you know, we try at least in the early stages to keep kids away because it can be hazardous for them. But these kids were just amazing. They organized themselves. They created teams. It was quite fabulous and wonderful. And it was a lot of fun for me.
You've given these children this kind of outlet with the playgrounds. Is writing an outlet for you to express yourself and to deal with maybe all the things that you've lived through in your life?
It's not me giving this. I mean, we're a whole team of people. Writing for me has always been my outlet for expression, creative expression. I never really imagined it as being something I would do professionally. So this is kind of something of an unexpected life that I feel very privileged to have sort of stumbled into in a way.
And what's next for this unexpected life, or indeed for your team of volunteers?
Well, actually, this summer we are building 5 playgrounds. So that's what we're doing with PFP. For me, personally, my book, The Blue Between Sky and Water, was just published in the UK, in Germany, and Sweden, Italy, a few other places, and it's going to be in the US in September. And I'm working on novel 3, I guess. My daughter's going to college and just, you know, living life.
Change.